Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. We're continuing our look through the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Do you know Abraham actually had 8 sons? We know he had Ishmael first with Hagar. Okay. And then he had Isaac with Sarah. Well, years later, he had a concubine named Keturah. Remember Keturah? Find him in Genesis 25, verse number 1. Keturah is introduced as one of Abraham's concubines. And he had 6 sons with Keturah. So Abraham had 8 boys. I don't know if you knew that or not. As a Bible theologian, I know Lisa knew that. Didn't you know that, Lisa? You didn't know that? Okay. Anyway, had 8 sons. But isn't it interesting that he says in verse number 17, offered up his only begotten son? The only one. He was the chosen one. Ishmael was not the chosen one. I mentioned this a week or so ago, or last week I think it was, that all that fighting that's going on in Israel with Hamas. Isn't it funny that those other countries, and I'm not going to get political until I get to my morning message, okay? Okay. Isn't it interesting that Egypt doesn't want them? Jordan doesn't want them? You know, these Palestinians, nobody wants them enough. Well, those folk came from Ishmael, Arabs. The Jews came through the Hebrew people, obviously came through Abraham because he was the first. And then Isaac was that seed. Ishmael was the father of the Arab countries. We looked at that here last week. And they're fighting over there, and somebody, you know, again, mentioned it last week. I mentioned they're fighting over land. By the way, I gave you the boundaries according to scriptures last week. All that land belongs to Israel, from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates, from the Nile River up into to Lebanon, which includes all the part of Iraq. And we looked at that, part of Egypt and Syria and Iraq, all these countries there. God has promised that to Israel. They're going to have it one day. Miss Polly mentioned about she's reading in Ezekiel, and I love people who read the Bible and ask me questions, and she wasn't quite sure about the latter part of Ezekiel. And she said, is this speaking of the millennial reign of Christ? I said, absolutely, this is the millennial reign of Christ. During the millennial reign of Christ, those sections of land will be given out to the 12 tribes of Israel. They're going to get different land sections, and they're going to receive all of that land. Anyway, the other thing that they're fighting about is because the Muslim people look at Ishmael, because he was the firstborn, as the heir of Abraham. They're fighting over that. Of course, they don't have the same Bible we do. It's so clear in the Old Testament that God said Ishmael is not going to inherit this, Isaac is. So that's two of the main reasons they're fighting over in Israel, over the land and over Ishmael and Isaac. So we see it talks about his only begotten son. Isaac, not Ishmael, or the other sons were heir of promise. So Isaac could be called his only begotten son, only one of his kind. And then in verse number 18, again, just to repeat, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Again, repeating that promise that God had promised Abraham, that in Isaac thy seed shall be called, not Ishmael, and Lord knows not the other 6 sons that are born to him later. I have the names of them if you want to look them up. They're in Genesis 25, the name Abraham's other sons. So then we get in verse number 19, accounting, that God was able to raise him up. The word accounting, we get it from the Greek word, and I'm not even going to pronounce it, but it means the same exact thing that we use here in the English word. It's a decisive and a calculated act. We have accountants. Okay, they have accounting. And they make sure it's down to the penny, an accountant. And that's what this word means. That it is decisive, a calculated act, carefully reasoned. This means that Abraham calculated God's promise. It was worthy of confidence. What? That God was able to raise him up. Even though this had never been done before in the history of mankind, as far as anybody had known, he knew that God would raise Isaac from the dead. And it's interesting. And it says here, from whence he also received him in a figure. The word figure here is the same word we get the word parable from. In other words, what happened to Abraham and Isaac is a figure of something that was to come. And what was that figure that was to come? It was the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Not only the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, but his resurrection. And that's why in Abraham's mind, Isaac was already dead and he was going to be resurrected. It was a completed picture in Abraham's mind. And that's why in this verse it says that he was a figure. He appointed to Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The sacrifice, Romans 8:32 says this, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." Again, the thought is Abraham spared not his own son, delivered him up. Well, God the Father spared not his son, Jesus Christ, and delivered him up for us all. And aren't you glad about that? By the way, when we think about Isaac in the Bible stories, Vacation Bible School, and you hear the flannel graphs and hear stories in Sunday school, oftentimes they picture Isaac as a little 18-year-old boy, that he was going to the altar, some little boy following his daddy. No. Isaac was about 33 years of age. He was a grown man when he followed Abraham up to that. And we're going to read that section of scripture in just a minute. When he followed Abraham up to that altar on Mount Moriah, he wasn't some little kid. He was a grown man. And you look at the time frames and all this, he was between 30 and 33 years old, and Jesus was about 33 when he went to the cross. There's so many similarities here that we could look at, but it's interesting that Isaac willingly laid on that altar. We're going to read that in just a minute. A grown man. I imagine we have kids. I got five boys, okay? If I laid any of them, they'd be kicking and screaming, and who would blame them, man? Dad, you crazy, man. You just out of your mind. But yeah, can you imagine the relationship that Isaac and Abraham must have had? And the faith Abraham must have shown before those 30-some years, that Isaac saw his daddy loving God and a faithful man. And, well, Dad, if you say so, I'm. So it's interesting. Let me, while we're there, turn me to Genesis chapter number 22. It's a good time to read this little account. It's a very short account. Beginning verse number 1, and we're thinking about 14 verses here. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abram." There's that word, tempt. It means test, that we looked in Hebrews, okay? It means to prove him. Abraham and said unto him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here am I." And he, speaking of God, said, "Take now thy son Isaac, thy only son, whom thou lovest." By the way, I have a note in my Bible. This is the first time the word love is mentioned in God's word. You ought to mark that. That does not mean that Adam did not love Eve. Eve did not love Adam. And it wasn't love before. I'm just saying, there's a special picture here. The first time ever the word love is mentioned in all the scripture is found right here, where it says, "whom thou lovest." That's how great of a faith that Abraham had. He loved this boy. Remember, he was the seed of 99 years of age, 100 years of age. He had a baby boy. Isn't that something? Don't you know that boy was spoiled rotten? Anyway, we'll go on from there, okay? I don't want to take time. "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And notice the next verse. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son." I want you to notice, Abraham did not argue. He didn't say, "Wait, whoa, God, what are you talking about?" He didn't question it. He got up the next morning. Now, I wonder, the Bible does not say. I wonder if he got any sleep. I doubt he slept like a baby.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.